When I was working as a preacher in Mayfield, Kentucky, the youth minister at the church that I preached at and I went over to a lady's house for a Bible study one afternoon. We walked into her house through the front door. We sat down on a couch across from her. The first thing that I noticed about her house was a sign that was hanging on the doorway where you go from the living room where we were into the kitchen. The sign looked just like this one. It read, "Jesus knows me, this I love." Have you ever thought about that before? We oftentimes sing the song, and we know the song really well, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Last week when we were together, we thought about the truth that underlies those lyrics from Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. We thought about how there's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the great love that Jesus has for us. But what if you change around those words just a little bit? Jesus loves me, this I know. That's a powerful message. That's an amazing message. That's a message that transforms our hearts. That's a message that transforms our lives. But what about Jesus knows me, this I love? When we think about our God, whether it be God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, we need to recognize that our God knows everything. That's what the Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20, stated very simply at the end of that verse, He knows everything. You go over to John chapter 21 and verse number 17, Jesus and Simon Peter are having a conversation with one another. This is the same conversation where Peter is restored for denying Jesus three times. Remember how Jesus asked him the question three different times there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, "Simon, do you love me?" In John 21 and verse 17, he responded by saying, "Lord, you know everything." Our God knows all things, but He also knows all people. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says that no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Our God knows everything. There's nothing that's outside the realm of God's knowledge. There's nothing in this universe that our God does not know. He knows all things. He knows all people. That should amaze us. When we think about those four words up on the screen, that should make us stand in awe of how great our God actually is. To recognize Psalm 139 and verse 6, His knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too wonderful for us. It's too high. His knowledge is not something that we can possibly attain. When we recognize that our God knows everything, it should cause us to fall down on our knees, praising our God, echoing the words of Romans 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. Our God knows everything. He knows all things and He knows all people. But when we read through the pages of the Bible, that's not the only message that we find about the knowledge of our God. It's not just that our God knows everything generally. We find a message that's so much more personal than that, a message that's so much more intimate than that. Sure, our God knows everything, but He also knows us. Our God knows all things. He knows all people generally. But He also knows you, and He knows me. He knows us fully, completely, perfectly, and intimately. As the Bible says in Psalm 139 in verse number 1, the Lord has searched us, and as a result of that, He knows us. He knows us better than anyone else does. Jeremiah echoes that in Jeremiah 12 in verse number 3, "But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart toward you." 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19 very simply says that the Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows those who belong to Him. Nahum 1 and verse number 7 says that God knows those who take refuge in Him. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. And then what we read in our scripture reading from the lips of Jesus in John chapter 10 verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Just like God the Father knows God the Son, and just like God the Son knows God the Father, Jesus knows us. He's the good shepherd, and He knows His own. He knows the sheep that belong to Him. Jesus knows me. Jesus knows you. He knows us so well in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 7 that even the hairs on our heads are all numbered. Jesus loves me, this I know. That's a powerful statement. But what about Jesus knows me, this I love? That's what I want us to spend a few moments thinking about as we study from the Word of God together today, to think about how much Jesus knows us and how much we should love that reality. Number one, when we look to the pages of Scripture, we find that Jesus knows our names. You go to Exodus chapter 33, Moses is pleading on behalf of the sinful Israelites for God's presence to go with them as they continued to journey through the wilderness. God responds to that request in Exodus 33 and 17 by granting his request. He says, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do." And then you look at the end of that verse, he tells Moses as an individual, "I know you by name." That statement is not just true in Moses' relationship with God. It's also true in our relationships with God, isn't it? Jesus knows our names. Did you know that right now there are about 8.1 billion people that live on this planet? That number, 8 billion, do we recognize how big that number is? Do we recognize how significant that number is? If you were to take 8 billion steps without stopping, you would travel 139 times around the earth. If you lived to be 8 billion seconds old, then you would be 254 years old. If you had 8 billion pennies and you stacked them on top of one another, one after the other, when you got to the 8 billionth penny, your stack would be 6,960 miles high. That would go across the continental United States about three times. If it was your full-time job to count, one, two, three, four, five, if you did that 5 days a week for 8 hours a day, it would take you 761 years to count to 8 billion. That's how many people live on our earth right now, 8.1 billion people. Out of all of those people that live on the face of the entire earth, Jesus knows your name. It's easy to be forgotten about sometimes, isn't it? It's easy to be overlooked, even in a crowd of 20, 30, or 40 people. Out of 8.1 billion people on this planet, not even counting those who have lived and passed on before us, Jesus knows your name. You're not a stranger to Jesus. Jesus is not ignorant of who you are. Jesus knows you by name. Number two, Jesus knows our works. I believe he makes that message very clear when he speaks to the seven churches in Asia in Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 3. Notice the first thing that he says to the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "I know your works." Then you fast forward a little bit to him addressing the church at Thyatira. The very first thing that he says to them in verse 19 is, "I know your works." What about the church at Sardis? Revelation 3 and verse 1, "I know your works." What about the church at Philadelphia? In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8, he says, "I know your works." What about the church at Laodicea? Revelation 3 and verse number 15, the very first thing that he says to them is, "I know your works." There Jesus is expressing the reality that's found in Psalm 139 verses 2 and 3. Jesus wanted these churches to know that he knows when they sit down and he knows when they rise up. He's searching out their path, searching out their lying down. Jesus was acquainted with all of their ways. He wanted those congregations to know, "I know what you're doing and I know what you're not doing. I know what you're doing well and I know what you're doing poorly. I know your strengths and I know your weaknesses. I know the righteous things that you're doing and I know the sinful things that you're doing. I know your works." That's not just a message that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago to the seven churches in Asia. That's a message that Jesus continues to speak to us today. "I know your works. I hope that that's a message that brings comfort. I hope that that's a message that brings joy into your life, that Jesus knows my words. Jesus knows what I'm doing for Him. Jesus knows that I'm doing the best that I can to serve Him on a daily basis, even if anyone else doesn't see it, even if anyone else doesn't recognize it. Jesus knows, Jesus sees it, Jesus recognizes it, and that's enough for me. But that could also be a message that brings some despair, some worry and anxiety into our hearts. Oh, you're telling me that Jesus knows my works? You're telling me that Jesus knows what I did yesterday when nobody was watching? You're telling me that Jesus knows what I said to that person who really gets on my nerves? You're telling me that Jesus knows that I've been really complacent in my faith recently and I've prioritized things over my relationship with Him? Jesus looks at us today with the same message that He presented to the seven churches in Asia. I know your works. How do you feel about that? How do you respond to that? But it's not just that Jesus knows our works on the outside. He also knows our hearts on the inside. It makes me think about Luke chapter 16, where the Pharisees overheard Jesus talking about how you can't serve both God and money. Because they were greedy, because they were lovers of money themselves, they began to ridicule and mock Jesus. Jesus responds to that ridicule in Luke 16 and 15 by saying, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." They could justify their greed and their love for money in front of other people, but they could not justify it before God. Why? Because God knew their hearts on the inside and out. We find a statement about Jesus' ministry in John 2, verses 24 and 25, that during His earthly ministry, He did not entrust Himself to people, even people who believed on Him because they saw the signs that He was working. He didn't entrust Himself to them. He didn't need, in verse 25, anyone to bear witness about man. He didn't need anyone to tell Him or instruct Him what mankind is all about or what lives in the heart of man. Why? The text explains it. It's because He knew all people in verse 24. It's because He Himself knew what was in man in verse 25, not just what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 7, the Lord says that He sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Jesus doesn't just know our works externally. Jesus knows our hearts. So often we only think about controlling our behavior. We only think about controlling what we say and what we do because that's what other people can see. That's what other people can notice. But what about our hearts? What about our minds? What about our desires and our thoughts and our motivations? Jesus sees them too. We can fake the Christian life in front of other people. You can't fake it in front of Jesus. You can make other people view you in a certain way or think about you in a certain way. You can't do that to Jesus. You can put up a facade to hide who you truly are and what you truly feel about a certain situation in life. You can't put up a facade when you stand in the presence of Jesus. You can justify yourself before people, but not before the Lord. Why? Because He doesn't just know our works. He knows our hearts. And a part of that, number four, Jesus knows our pain. Jesus knows the difficulties that we go through. One of my favorite verses in the book of Psalms is Psalm 56 in verse number 8, where the psalmist says, "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Have you ever been up at night with something on your mind? You can't go to sleep. It's like you're tossing and turning throughout the entire night. The promise of Psalm 56 in verse 8 is that every time you toss in your bed, God makes a tally mark. When you get up in the morning, God knows the number of times that you've tossed and turned because of the anxiety that was placed on your heart and the worry that was living in your mind. Have you ever been in a situation where you were hurting, where tears welled up in your eyes, they streamed down your cheeks and fell off of your face? God is so close to us in that moment that He catches those tears in a bottle. God knows every tear that you cry because He's there. He's catching it in a bottle. When we hurt, when we go through pain, when we experience trials in life, God keeps a record of it. He writes it down in his book. God, Jesus, knows our pain. He knows every time that we toss and turn at night. He knows every tear that we cry. He knows every hurt that lives within our hearts because he writes it down in his book. As Jesus told the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2 and verse number 9, I know your tribulation. He wanted those Christians to know that he wasn't ignorant of the pain that they were going through. He didn't turn a blind eye to the difficulty that they were dealing with. He knew that tribulation on the inside and the outside. I believe that message is still true for us today. Jesus knows our tribulation. So often when we hurt, we feel alone. So often when we experience painful circumstances, we think that nobody understands. Nobody really knows what I'm feeling. Nobody really knows what I'm going through. Jesus raises his hand and says, I do. I keep count of every time that you toss and turn. I catch every tear in a bottle. I write down every heartache and every broken heart inside of this book. Do you want to see the list? I know your tribulation. I know the trials of your life. But we can take a step beyond that, can't we? It's not that Jesus just knows what we're going through and he's not willing to do anything about it. You go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus knows how to rescue the godly from trials. He doesn't just know the trials that we go through. He knows how to rescue us from them. He knows how to save us from them, to deliver us from them. He knows our pain and knows how to deliver us from our pain. Number 5, Jesus knows our needs. You go to the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon to ever be preached. In Matthew 6 and verse 7, Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. He says in verse 8, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You take comfort in that message? God knows what you need before you even ask Him for it, before you even present it before His throne. Skip down a little bit later in the chapter, Matthew 6, 31 and 32, Jesus is talking about how we shouldn't be anxious about what we need in life. We shouldn't be anxious saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Because in verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Do you have a need right now? Do you have a need physically, emotionally, or spiritually? Do you have a need financially? Be guaranteed that Jesus knows your needs. Jesus knows your needs before you even ask Him. And there's a beautiful promise in Matthew 6 and verse number 33 that if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of those things that we need will be added unto us. When we seek God first, when we seek His kingdom and His righteousness as the top priority in our lives, He's not necessarily going to give us everything that we want. But Jesus promises that He will give us everything that we need. It's in those circumstances where we can make the confident statement of Paul in Philippians 4 and 19 that my God will. Not my God might, but my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's able to supply all of our needs because He knows our needs. Number 6, Jesus knows our futures. Psalm 139 and verse number 16, the writer says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Going back into the time that we were in our mother's wombs, God knew every day of our lives that would follow. He knew what would happen and He knew what would take place on those days, even when those days hadn't happened yet, even when those days did not even exist. In Isaiah 46 and verse 10, God is the one who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done. Have you ever watched a movie with somebody where 10 minutes into the movie they explain the entire plot to you and tell you exactly how the movie's going to end? That's exactly what God does for our lives. Now, it's kind of annoying when people do that when you're watching a movie. You want to see the end for yourself, right? But it's amazing when we think about what our God is able to do. He's able to stand at the beginning of our lives and tell us exactly what's going to happen all the way to the end of our lives. He's able to go back farther than that. Able to go back to ancient times before any of this was here, before the foundation of the earth was laid. And He's able to tell us what's going to happen in our lives every single day of our lives. Jesus knows your future. Jesus knows what's going to happen to you 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days from now, 5 months from now, 5 years from now, even 50 years from now. That's why we can trust Him. That's why we can place our faith in Him. That's why we can walk not by sight, but by faith. We don't know what the future holds, but thanks be to God that we can know the One who holds the future. He's the One who declares the end from the beginning, and He gives us the promise that He's going to work providentially behind the scenes to make His counsel stand and accomplish His purpose in our lives. And then finally, number 7, Jesus knows simply what we don't. You go to 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, I believe that Paul is more than likely talking about himself in the third person, but he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. He says, whether that experience was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but guess what? God knows. He says, what I don't know about that experience, what I have no way of knowing about that experience, God knows fully and completely. That's not just true about that experience. That's true about every experience. What we don't know, Jesus knows. Oh, we hate to admit it, but there are things that we don't know. We hate to admit it, but there are things that we don't know, and we have no way of finding them out. We have no way of possibly knowing them. We can find comfort in the fact that Jesus does. What we don't know about circumstances, what we don't know about results, what we don't know about situations, Jesus does. And again, that's why we can place our faith in Him. Jesus loves me, this I know. I hope that's a message that you live your life by. But I hope that you also incorporate this message into your thinking in conjunction with it. Jesus knows me, this I love. Jesus knows us. He knows us perfectly, completely, and intimately. He knows us better than anyone else does. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. Don't you love that message? Don't you love the message that Jesus knows you? Don't you love the fact that Jesus knows your name? He knows your works, your heart, your pain, your needs, and your future. Don't you love that Jesus knows everything that you don't? Perhaps the question that we need to conclude thinking about is, do we know Jesus? Jesus knows us. He knows us fully, completely, perfectly, and intimately. The question that each one of us has to answer this morning is, do we know Him? Well, how can we know that we know Jesus? How can we know that we've entered into and are actively living within relationship with our Lord and Savior? Read this passage with me from 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. And by this we know that we've come to know Him. How can I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know Jesus? By this we know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says I know Him but doesn't keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Do we know Jesus this morning? In order to answer that question, we need to answer these 4 questions. Question number 1, are we keeping His commandments? By this we know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments. If we say that we know Him but we don't keep His commandments, John very bluntly says that we're lying and the truth is not in us. Do we know Jesus? Are we keeping His commandments? Are we keeping His word? Are we doing what He has told us to do in the pages of this book? Is our Christianity more than just words? Is your relationship with God more than just a claim that you make? Is Christian more than just a title that you wear? Is it something that controls who you are and everything that you do on a daily basis? And then this is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Are we walking in the footsteps of Jesus? If you read through those 4 questions and you answer any of them by saying no, or you answer any of them by saying, I'm not really sure, I have some concerns, I have some doubts about that, then you need to spend some time thinking about the question, do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus if you're not willing to keep His commandments? Do you really know Jesus if you're not willing to keep His word? Do you really know Jesus if your Christianity is just a claim or a title that you wear? Do you really know Jesus if you're not actively and intentionally following in His footsteps every day that you live? Maybe the reality in your life is that you don't know Jesus as well as you should. Maybe some distance has grown in that relationship. If that's the case for you, let's take care of that together. As your Christian community, we'd love to surround you, pray for you, encourage you, love on you. If you have a need, if you want to grow closer to Jesus, let us help you do that as together we stand and sing.